The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. We'll start in the Premier League today. Two results very significant for those teams battling for survival. Manchester City thrashing Watford by 4-0. Meanwhile, a very significant win for Aston Villa beating Arsenal 1-0. Stevie Nicol and Shaq are here with me to discuss those games. Stevie, for you, what stood out from those two? What would you like to talk about? What is the big discussion point?
To be honest with you, I think it has to be Arsenal, Aston Villa. The fact that Aston Villa got the opportunity to get a victory and get themselves out of the bottom three, I think, was huge. And the fact that we could see Arsenal having beaten Liverpool and Man City, we were talking about, have they moved forward? And then after this game, you'd have to say no. So Aston Villa getting the 3 points under pressure, fantastic performance, should have won by more than the goal. And Arsenal, well, every time they kind of think, every time they lift us up, they kind of drop us from a great height. And they did it again in this game.
Isn't that a bit harsh, though, on Arsenal, Stevie? After all the jubilation, the excitement of beating Manchester City, getting through to the FA Cup final, there wasn't really much riding on this game. We saw Arteta make a few changes as well. To say that they're back to square one is a bit harsh, isn't it?
How? You've just got beaten by a side who...
Yeah, but a side who are scrapping or fighting
relegated
for their
lives. Out of the Premier League.
What were Arsenal playing
and
for,
you actually
really?
Got well beaten. You had 70%. We sat here the other night and said, right, it's okay, it's one thing. It's one thing to beat a Liverpool side that were half asleep. It's another thing to defend for your lives for 90 minutes and do City on the break and win. And the real test is to go to a team who may this time next week be back in the Championship, and you can't get even close to breaking them down. Come on, Dan.
No shots on target for Arsenal in this game, Shaka. Was this just a case of not upping their game for this match after what happened at the weekend? Or like Stevie says, did we see a little bit more of the real Arsenal?
Well, I think a little bit of both. Listen, Arsenal aren't going to finish in the European places. I think that much we know. I know their season and rides on the FA Cup, so you understand where if a lot of the players weren't up for this one. But for me, from an Arsenal perspective, as much as Arteta's made change, if you're Nketiah, if you're Saka coming in, you want to be a part of a team and stake a claim to play from the start in the FA Cup final. Now, I think those changes have kind of signaled that Arteta has to go with the team that beat Manchester City. And those players, even though they may have figured more prominently in recent games, surely can't start come the FA Cup final because they were just that disappointing. Yeah. It was that much of a letdown.
So no empathy for Arsenal at all, Steve. You say it's difficult for players to motivate themselves when there's nothing at stake. There wasn't anything at stake today, as opposed to Aston Villa, where everything was at stake.
You know, when Shaka was talking there, it was actually something came to my mind. I remember we played Tottenham Hotspur at Anfield in the last game of the season in the 80s. There was nothing for us to play for, and they were in the cup final. And I remember, I can't. He was a midfield player. I can't remember his name. I can see him. I can see his face right now. And he was running around at 1,000 miles an hour. And I just said to him, I said, look, hey, calm down. I said, you've got a cup final next week, save your legs, and said, and make it easier for all of us. And he says, I'm not quite sure I'm playing next week. He says, so I'm going to be running 1,000 miles an hour for the rest of the game. Now, that's exactly what came to my mind. That's exactly what should be in the mind of Arsenal's players. And the fact that he's made a lot of changes tells you that there must be at least 4 or 5 players who aren't quite sure whether they're going to play in the FA Cup final. So they should be trying to bust a gut. And I think they were trying. I just don't think they were that good.
Meanwhile, Manchester City with a 4-0 victory over Watford. Watford's, of course, sacking Nigel Pearson ahead of this game. And that 4-0 deficit really drags them down into this relegation scrap. It is going to be a fascinating final day of the season. Bournemouth look all but doomed because Bournemouth need to win and hope that both Aston Villa and Watford lose. Meanwhile, it's going to be a head-to-head between West Ham and Aston Villa and Watford as to who is going to make it into the Premier League, who is going to survive. For Watford, Stevie, this was obviously not the plan.
No, they were clearly looking to get a lift from a new face in the dugout. But the problem for Watford is it's nothing to do with getting a lift or a new face or a new voice. They can't defend to save their lives, and that's what they're going to have to do next week, and they're not capable of doing it. I just don't see how they win a game. They don't look like they're going to score goals, and they're leaking goals for fun. So all in all, regardless of what Villa do, I just don't see how they get any points from the last game.
For City, we saw Casado play on the left. Stevie, is that going to be an option going forward? Is something that we've discussed about somewhere that Manchester City need to reinforce over the summer?
I think down that left-hand side, it's just a toss of a coin. You know, whether it's Zinchenko, Mendy or Kinsella. They've all got their pluses, but unfortunately, they've all got the same fault. They can't defend, so... It didn't make any difference today. As I said, you know, it's get your darts out, three names on the board, and shut your eyes and see which one it hits on.
Well, today was all about the relegation scrap, really. Tomorrow is all about the battle for the top four, both Chelsea and Manchester United in action. Manchester United taking on West Ham. A lot of talk ahead of this game about United's goalkeeper, David De Gea, of course, making a couple of high-profile errors in that FA Cup semi-final defeat against Chelsea. Stevie, simple question, I suppose. Do you start him if you're Ollie?
Yes, I do. Listen, from a coach's point of view, the first thing you do is you go and see the goalkeeper coach and say, where's this guy's head at? And if he says, look, his head's fine, he understands he's made mistakes, but his head's fine, you then ask him, would you play him? And then, regardless of what he says, then you make a decision. And you ask yourself a question. Honestly, that's how it works. You include everybody, but at the end of the day, you're the one that makes the decision.
So
and the final question you ask yourself is...
Go on, Steve.
No, you ask yourself, two games to go, two wins, we're in the Champions League. If I need a goalkeeper, I've got two keepers and I need a save between those two games to get us over the line. Who do I think is going to make it? Do I think Romero makes it or do I think De Gea makes it? And if I'm Ollie, I'm still going to say I think De Gea makes that save. And so you play him.
Shaka?
I agree. You play David De Gea because he has been your number one throughout. And even though I thought it was a poor choice to swap Romero and De Gea for the Cup semi-final, I think you have to stick with who's been your preferred number one. And just as we may have questions about David De Gea and where his head is at, as Stevie put it, similarly with Sergio Romero, who's played in the FA Cup up until this point, and then you leave him out, unless the plan all along you spoke to Romero about was to play De Gea in the Cup and then Romero in the league games, then I think you have a similar concern around Sergio Romero and where his head is at. At the same time, I don't doubt for a minute that if you call him in, he is absolutely professional about what he does. But right now, he's looking at Solskjaer kind of concerningly given how he's treated over recent days.
Stevie, you've played, of course, in front of some great goalkeepers, some not-so-great goalkeepers, keepers that had dodgy spells. How does it affect defenders when your goalkeepers are going through this sort of run?
Well, fortunately, the mistakes were few and far between. And it's not really... Listen, if a goalkeeper makes howlers like three or four games in a trot, then I would suggest, because I've never been in that position, I would suggest that every time the ball goes anywhere near the goal, you're going to panic. So I don't think it's reached that stage yet. Yes, you know the mistake is there. It is possible it can happen, but it's not in the forefront of your head. And it shouldn't be. You know, you should be concentrated on doing your own job. And if you're a true professional and a good player, and Maguire and Lindelof are, then they won't be thinking about De Gea. They'll be thinking about what job they have to do.
Do you change anything if you're De Gea, Shaka?
If you're David De Gea, no. But just to speak on your previous question about how it affects defenders, I think when goalkeepers are going through bad patches or hard games like David De Gea does, the natural reaction of defenders is to play a little bit deeper, to protect the goalkeeper a little bit more. You don't get as far as advanced as you normally do. I think that's just the natural reaction. The challenge to that for Manchester United and the way they play, particularly against West Ham, United have been pressing higher up the park. And if all of a sudden there's a bigger gap in between midfield and defence, I don't feel they're anywhere as effective in what they're trying to do. Final game, of course, against Leicester City. Similarly, given the pace that Leicester City play with, I just feel it throws everything off sync for Manchester United. But as far as David De Gea goes, no, you just try to do the basics as best you can. You hope to get and take a nice early shot. That's rather simple and just warms the hands a little bit. You come and you take an early cross and you try to build on that.
Predictions, United win, Shaq?
Dan, I think...
Go on, Steve, quickly.
No, I think if you make the change for this next game, I think you're causing a problem.
Right.
You know, I think you're going to throw something into the mix that's going to upset everybody. So I think the smart thing is brush it aside, play the hair, and then let it go to bed.
United wins, Stevie.
Yeah, United wins.
United win, Shaq?
Yeah, David De Gea starts, United win 2-0.
Meanwhile, Chelsea, of course, need a win to guarantee a Champions League spot. For Liverpool, they will be presented with a Premier League trophy after this match. I'm intrigued, Stevie. How is this going to go?
Unfortunately for Chelsea, two of Liverpool's most important players had an absolute stinker, and Van Dijk and Alisson. So the only thing you know is the two of them are going to be about as concentrated as it's possible to be. And they're going to be on top of everybody around them to make sure that they are as well. So I think that will go against Chelsea. I don't see Chelsea stopping Liverpool scoring. And Van Dijk and Alisson are absolutely... They don't want to be embarrassed again. They're going to be at the top of their game. So that's bad news for Chelsea.
Do you agree, Shaq?
I'm not as confident as Stevie is. I still think Liverpool win the game, just because I think Chelsea have been inconsistent. I don't expect Liverpool to
Liverpool
be as
bad. Liverpool haven't been very consistent, Shaq.
Was that, sorry?
Liverpool haven't exactly been a shining example of consistency.
Which is what I was about to say, Dan. I was just going to say that I don't expect Liverpool to be anywhere near as bad as they have been, given the situation and the presentation of the trophy and all that means, but I don't expect them to be anywhere near as good as we'd seen them earlier this season. I think they get the job done just 1-0. I'm going to go Liverpool.
1-0 Liverpool. All right then, guys. Be interesting to see how that all plays out tomorrow. For a lot more on what's going on at Manchester United and how they might be looking to resolve that David De Gea situation, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Well, slightly different headlines regarding Lionel Messi to what we saw previously in the week. Much more subdued, much more almost as a peacemaker after the final match of the season. Sid Lowe joins us from Spain to discuss this. Now, why did he kind of change his tone, Sid? What prompted it?
Well, look, in a way, I think the reason that he said what he said at the weekend was because he'd said what he'd said in midweek. In other words, I think there was a recognition that probably after what he said in midweek, there'd been too much of an impact to that he needed to try and calm things down. I think perhaps he felt that now is not the time. You know, that Barcelona have a Champions League campaign coming up, that they need to be ready for that, and that actually there probably aren't immediate solutions other than the ones that they currently have in place, and therefore there was a need to that. I also think we probably should see the two sets of comments in the context of the two games that had just finished. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we overlook this, that the players are spoken to immediately after a match. And immediately after a match, when players are still furious, still on edge, still tense, still angry, all of those kind of things I think play a part. And of course, the context couldn't be any more different. One of them is a really quite humiliating defeat to Osasuna, which Barcelona have played appallingly. The other is a game in which Barcelona have played very well. And so I suppose if you come out of that game feeling, well, maybe there's a hint of something here. Maybe there's something we can grab hold of. Maybe there's something that we can, you know, we can kind of take and seek continuity rather than complete change.
One man I'm sure is happy that it's done and dusted now is Quique Setién, because obviously after that defeat at Osasuna, there was a lot of talk about his future, about whether or not he will be in charge of the side for the Champions League campaign next month. After that victory against Alaves, I suppose that's kind of quietened down slightly, and now focus can be on those games.
Yeah, and of course, before we get to those games, focus can be on, as Messi himself said, and as Setién then said in the press conference after the game, can be on a few days, clear your minds, refresh, relax, take some of the pressure away, and then let's come back and let's focus, and let's make this about those potentially four games. Obviously, it could only be one, it could be two, three, and make sure we're ready for it. And I think you're right, Setién would have been very well aware that the finger had been pointing at him very clearly after the game against Osasuna, after the game against Alaves. I mean, I must confess, my first reaction was, okay, well, that's Setién safe then for now. Now, of course, Messi can't be the sole arbiter of the future of Barcelona. One of the things that most annoys him is the accusation that he is. But I think that was taking some of the sting out of the previous comments, and it allowed, I think, for a peaceful week. I'm not suggesting we're going to get very much more than a week, but it allowed for a peaceful week.
Meanwhile, Sid, we saw old Gareth Bale's agent coming out and saying, hey, he's there for two more years. He loves it in Madrid. He's not going anywhere. This is hope proper. You feel maybe Sid isn't going to develop much further because no one's going to come in now. We know what happened last year with China. Real Madrid rejected it. I can't see this resolving itself until he runs out of contract.
No, and that's exactly the message that Jonathan Barnett, his agent, is transmitting to people. That, look, he's got 2 years of his contract. He's got nowhere to go. He's got no one who will pay the transfer fee. No one will pay this kind of salary. So why would he move? He's happy in Madrid. He likes Madrid. He wants to be there. And, you know, the cynic in me, Dan, thinks that's it. Gareth Bale has found the perfect job. He gets paid an absolute fortune. He gets the weekends off. Yep. He sits in the sunshine. Yes. Everybody's happy. Now, obviously, that is me being cynical. But there is a kernel of truth in that, you know, which is that, of course, Gareth Bale wants to play. Of course, there's a degree of sadness that we've reached this point and that the end of his time at Real Madrid. And bear in mind, we're talking about a four times European Cup winner here. You know, the end hasn't been more satisfying, that it hasn't been more friendly in terms of the relationship with the club and the fans in terms of how he'll be remembered. But right now, I feel like Gareth has kind of gone beyond that now. He knows what the situation is. Okay, if this is it, well then, we just kind of have to live with it. And of course, in this scenario, you can live quite well. Now, of course, absolutely, he would rather play. He'd rather be in the team. He'd rather be scoring goals every week. But with Zidane at the club and with the situation the way it is, that's very difficult. And I agree with you. I just don't see a way out of this. And I think we have to remember that. This isn't just about, right, this has got to change. Let's fix this. Let's take him somewhere else. Yeah, yeah. But where? If there isn't an exit strategy, there isn't an exit.
We all had the same dream. That's why we're in this job, basically. We weren't good enough at football. I end up telling people about it. You ended up going to Spain and talking about La Liga. Obviously, we haven't got ex-pros on, so we're talking from a very different world. But as people who dreamt, and I'm sure as many people who watch this show, dreamt of playing football in whatever manner when they're growing up, isn't this kind of sad that Gareth Bale preferred to sit there and take the money as opposed to going off and playing somewhere else, which he could if he took a pay cut and if he thought, well, you know, sod it, I'm going to go and just enjoy playing football again. He's made enough money in this world. He clearly doesn't want to.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think it's sad on more levels than just that. I mean, I think it's sad that it's reached this point. I think it's sad that the relationship is what it is, because I feel like there's been some wrong turns along the way, both from the club and indeed from Gareth and his entourage. I think it needn't necessarily have ended like this. But yeah, I must admit, I feel the same way as you. There's a bit of me that thinks, look, having reached this point, look, I can understand why. If you feel wronged by a club, and I'm not saying he's necessarily correct to feel wronged by a club, if you feel like your situation isn't of your making, that this isn't the way you wanted it to be, but that's the way it is, I can understand why anyone in any working environment might say, well, look, you signed up for this, tough luck. But I'm with you on this. There's a bit of me that thinks, I'd rather be playing football. You know, I'd rather say to Real Madrid, you know what, let's just end this. Let's go and do something else. Let's go and play somewhere else. And bear in mind, by the way, that last summer he was prepared to go to China, which you know, obviously was driven by the economics of it, but also driven by the situation. But then Gareth also has a young family. He has a lifestyle in Madrid to maintain. So, you know, maybe this perfect scenario is to say to Real Madrid, look, let's just end this and I'll go play for Rayo Vallecano or Leganés. Leganés have just gone down. I'll go there and help them come back.
You talk about lifestyle in Madrid, and his agent mentioned it as well. How much of a lifestyle does he have, really, in the sense that I can't imagine he can go out like other players can, because he must just be ridiculed a lot by his own fans because of what has happened, or is just not speaking Spanish very helpful in that situation?
Well, I mean, genuinely, it does sound like a flippant point, but I think you're partly right there, that, you know, there is a sort of an isolation through that. I think he does understand most of what's said to him. I suspect that his day-to-day experience means that actually he's not confronted by that, if you like, that kind of anger or that ridicule that he might be confronted by. In terms of the lifestyle, you know, this isn't a guy who's desperate to go out all the time anyway. And, you know, one of the accusations that was levelled at him and has been levelled at him repeatedly was that, you know, he doesn't integrate in the team. He doesn't go out when his team dinners and so on. But he didn't do that when he was at Spurs, really. And so in a way, this is, you know, a lovely house with lovely weather, a golf course in the garden, his children happy at school. He can leave the house and walk to their school every morning in the sunshine, walk back again. You know, in that sense, it's very, very relaxed. And you know, so... So, I mean, I can understand that. But, yeah, admittedly, if you're this well paid, to be honest, you can probably have a pretty good lifestyle almost wherever you are. And, you know, why not go and play for a team in the Bahamas or something?
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Slightly different to my lifestyle in Madrid when I was there. And I have to admit, before I went to Spain...
you don't want to be telling the viewers about your lifestyle in Madrid, Daniel.
But one of the interesting things that I picked up, not like that, in Spain was obviously the fact that the Ballon d'Or is such a massive deal. Like in England, we didn't really cover it that much. And it was only when I moved to Madrid, it was everywhere, all the time, everybody talking about it. And that has certainly become global now because of social media. So I can only imagine the reaction to yesterday's announcement, Sid, that obviously it's cancelled for the year.
Yeah, I remember actually being in Madrid and speaking to Michael Owen about this, who of course joined Real Madrid. He won the Ballon d'Or in 2001. And him saying that when he won the Ballon d'Or, Gerard Houllier had to really impose upon him, look, this is big, Michael. This really, really matters. That he didn't consider it a really massive thing. I think you're right, in the UK now that's changed all around the world. It's changed. But at Real Madrid, it was huge. And one of the reasons he joined Real Madrid was because he came with that Ballon d'Or under his arm. And that was really, really important for them. You're right about the reaction here. I mean, it's not been quite I must admit, quite as furious as I thought it would be. But when I first heard this, and I must confess, I think it's a bit of a shame. You know, it's a season in which there has been football, so I see no reason why you shouldn't mark that, why you shouldn't try and find the best player. But my initial reaction, I must confess, was brilliant. We save ourselves all of that nonsense. We don't have to go through all the rubbish again. But honestly, I must have had that idea for about a minute. Because within about a minute of this being announced, immediately you got all that nonsense, but there'll be no resolution to it. Because all the nonsense was, oh, what a disgrace, it's been cancelled. They've robbed Lewandowski.
Yeah.
They've robbed Karim Benzema. They've robbed Sergio Ramos. I don't know who else they've robbed this year, but they've robbed loads of players who, of course, those fans were going to champion anyway. It's an absolute disgrace. And in the end, we all know that Ballon d'Or should be yours.
Sid, I'm going to ask you, and it's going to annoy you, but tough. Straw poll.
If no, don't do it, please.
If we went around Spain at the moment, and obviously Catalonia, Madrid, blah, 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 Benzema or Messi more worthy of the Ballon d'Or solely on what's happened in La Liga this season?
Well, I mean, in a way, that's the problem. And I know this sounds like I'm avoiding the answer. I promise I'll get to it in a minute. In a way, that's the problem. Because, of course, the Ballon d'Or is a European-wide award, and we knew that this year's Ballon d'Or was largely going to be driven by what happened in the European Championships.
Yep.
In the absence of the European Championships, we know it's going to be largely driven by what happens in the Champions League. Right, even though it's a strange Champions League, even though it's like a free game tournament in Lisbon, right? So we don't really know who the outstanding candidates are. If we strip that away and we go to domestic leagues, then the outstanding candidates, I guess, are someone from Liverpool or Lewandowski right now. If we're going to go to Spain, and you're right to say that there is a debate in Spain, I think the fact that Real Madrid have won the league, I think the fact that Messi is always a victim of his own success and sets the bar so high that as soon as he comes below the bar, despite the fact that everyone else is below the bar as well, it's seen as a terrible season. I think the strongest candidates from a Spanish point of view, and as I say this with the bias of the two sort of sides of the media pushing their candidates, I think the stronger candidate probably is Karim Benzema or maybe even Sergio Ramos. And I think the player that got champion from a Spanish point of view would have probably depended on the Champions League. Purely on La Liga, yeah, I think it's probably Benzema.
Oh, Sid. Turns his back on Lionel Messi's record-breaking season. Once again, the anti-Messi rhetoric coming from ESPN's La Liga, man. Thank you very much, Sid. No Ballon d'Or, much to the delight and then anger from Craig Burley, as you would expect. You can check out Extra Time yesterday where we discussed it at length.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Made it 10 games unbeaten with a 2-1 victory against Sassuolo. Zlatan with a brace in that game. Pioli will be in charge next season. That was confirmed today. For a lot more talk regarding Serie A, be sure to download the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN FC then returns to your screens tomorrow. Of course, we're reflecting on those big games between Manchester United and West Ham and Chelsea's clash against Liverpool. Well, that brings to the end of today's programme. Big thank you to Sid Lowe, to Stevie and to Shaka as well. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.